Last week, we started a new series called Gather, and we're going to be taking a look over this three-week series about what it means to gather as the church and why we do it. And so gather simply means to come together in a body or to cluster around a focus of attraction. Now, this is according to Merriam-Webster. The church is the body of Christ, and when we gather, we come together in a body. We also gather around a focus of attraction, which is Jesus. And so really, for our purposes, they got the definition pretty stinking close. And so the church gathers for all kinds of reasons, but the sentiment is the church is this family who gathers every week. And so over this series, we're going to talk about three specific reasons that we gather as the church. Now, last week, we talked about gathering for rhythm and how important it is to establish habits and rhythms into our lives. We looked at a passage in Acts that shed some light on four things that the early church was doing to establish rhythm. The first one was teaching. It's important for us to seek out good teaching because as easy as it is to find, there's way more bad teaching available. So we have to make sure that we're seeking good teaching and the teaching that's giving us an accurate representation of who God is. Remember, we become like our perception of God. So if we're being taught a skewed version of who God is, we are going to become like that version. The second was fellowship. Now, fellowship isn't something that just happens at church, and you can be at church every week and not fellowship. Fellowship happens when we share our lives with each other. Now, the third was breaking of bread or communion. It's important to be in a rhythm of remembering what Jesus has done for us. And the fourth rhythm that we talked about last week was prayer. It is important to pray in your personal life, very important, but it seems to be as important to pray communally. We looked at the Lord's Prayer, which was Jesus' direct answer to being asked how to pray, and it turns out that that's a communal prayer. So, these four rhythms were the first reason that we covered as to why the church would gather. So if you missed last week, that was a quick little recap. So today, we're going to talk about gathering for a different reason. Today, we're talking about gathering for strength. So strength is a funny word because it's relative, right? Lots of different things can be strong, or you can be strong in lots of different ways. Have you ever watched those World's Strongest Man competitions on ESPN? Yes? Three of us? Four of us? Okay. All right. Well, if you have or haven't, this is Tom Stoltman. He is from Great Britain, and until May, he is the strongest man in the world. He is 6'8" tall, weighs 408 pounds. He has picked up a round stone and thrown it over a 4-foot-tall bar. The stone weighed 630 pounds. He has a record deadlift of 916 pounds, means he can just pick up almost half a ton by himself. He can squat 717 pounds. So, if you are bad at parking and you need someone to pick up the back end of your car and straighten it out, this guy could do it. Now, with a title like World's Strongest Man, you could safely say that this man is an example of strength, right? Okay. Now, this is Coretta Scott King. She was the widow of Martin Luther King Jr. At 39 years old, when MLK was assassinated, their children were 12, 10, 7, and 5. She was widowed and left to raise 4 young children without her husband. She never remarried. She could not deadlift 916 pounds, I'm assuming. But we would still safely say that she's a great example of strength. This is Cal Ripken Jr. He is a retired baseball player who holds the record for consecutive games played. This one I remember well because I think I was in elementary school when this happened. He played in 2,632 games in a row. He cannot squat 700 pounds, nor did he lose his spouse and raise 4 children on his own, yet we would all still agree that he is an example of strength, right? Okay, I could give 100 more stories of people and their different feats of strength, and that'd be pretty fun, I think, but it wouldn't really get to the point of why we gather. You see, no matter how much physical strength Tom Stoltman has, or no matter how much emotional or inner strength Coretta Scott King has or had, and no matter how much endurance and strength Cal Ripken Jr. has, they all have a limit. They are still not as strong as a group. There are strength in numbers. If Tom Stoltman can deadlift 916 pounds and I were to come alongside and help him, together we could lift 925 pounds. You know what? But it's still more, right? It's still more than what he could lift. We could probably do 1,000 if it was the two of us. It doesn't matter who it is or how big or strong or stable they are. There is strength in numbers. You can always do more together than you can alone. How many of you have heard of Aesop's Fables or read some of them before? Okay, great. If you haven't, I'm sure you've heard one. He's credited with The Boy Who Cried Wolf and The Tortoise and the Hare. Pretty famous stories. So I'm going to read you one of Aesop's Fables called The Bundle of Sticks. A certain father had a family of sons who were forever quarreling among themselves. No words he could say did the least good, so he cast about in his mind for some very striking example that should make them see that discord would lead them to misfortune. One day, when the quarreling had come much more violent than usual, but this sounds like my kids, and each one of the sons was moping in a surly manner, he asked one of them to bring him a bundle of sticks. Then, handing the bundle of sticks to each son, he in turn told them to try and break it. But although each one tried his best, none was able to do so. The father then untied the bundle and gave the sticks to his sons to break one by one. They did this very easily. "My sons," said the father, "do you not see how certain it is that if you agree with each other and help each other, it will be impossible for your enemies to injure you? But if you are divided amongst yourselves, you will be no stronger than a single stick in that bundle." So, today we're talking about strength in the context of the church. And so if we apply this to our context, I think it still holds true. In the church, we gather for strength because there is strength in numbers. Imagine everything you've gone through in your life and not having a church family to go through it with. And maybe it hasn't always been this specific church family. Or maybe you've lived through a time when you didn't have a church family that you gathered with. I'm willing to bet that you're stronger having gathered with the church than when you were not practicing gathering. So, we're going to look at some passages today from some different scriptures that give us examples of how we're stronger together. And these are through some kind of unconventional analogies, comparing us to two different animals and a rope. So the first one, we're talking about the strength of the oxen. Now, Proverbs 14:4 says, "Where there are no oxen, the manger is clean, but much revenue comes by the strength of the ox." This passage is very clearly saying something, right? You can't have a harvest without oxen, or a very good one. But that's true. But it's also saying something else. It says, "Where there are no oxen, the manger is clean." I think we all understand what that means. It's if you don't want any mess, then you need to have an empty manger or an empty stable. Because as you can imagine, getting a bunch of oxen together can be messy. Has anyone raised livestock before? Okay. It's a mess sometimes, right? It's very true that if you don't have any livestock in your barn stays pretty clean. But you also don't get the benefit of the production. If you fill your barn with chicken, cows, and pigs, you get steak and eggs and bacon, right? But in order to get that production, you have to be willing to deal with a little bit of mess. The same thing with the oxen. A clean barn is nice, but a full harvest is so much better. It's the same concept for us. Let me just be honest with each other for a minute. Being in community is messy too, isn't it? In fact, it can get so messy that there are many of us who've experienced wounds and hurts from being part of a community. The truth is, when you get a bunch of people together, like oxen, it can be messy sometimes. I'm sure that if we sat and thought for a minute, you could come up with a time that it was really messy for you to be in community as the church. You could come up with a time that you were hurt or burdened or worn out by someone. That's because the church is made up of humans. And like oxen, we are messy. We don't always make the right choice. We don't always put others' needs or wants first. And we don't always agree. And sometimes we bring sin into the picture and make an even bigger mess. Now the flip side to this, however, is the beauty that Proverbs 14:4 captures. It's the same bunch of messy oxen can bring about an incredible harvest. Oxen are strong and stubborn and messy, and oxen need a lot of care and direction through the harvest. That sounds a lot like humans. Strong, stubborn, messy, and in need of direction. Jesus has chosen us to build his church, and we are what Peter calls living stones being built into a spiritual house. And even though it gets messy and it gets tough, there's a harvest that comes when we pool our collective strengths together for the sake of the gospel. So strong, stubborn, messy oxen with a little cooperation, they are way stronger together. Imagine the harvest you could get with two versus one ox. Now imagine the harvest you could get with two oxen versus 10 teams of oxen. There's strength in numbers. We are stronger when we work together. We will see a greater harvest working together than we ever will working alone. So if Jesus is calling us to be his church, then he must want a plentiful harvest over a clean barn. Or, in other words, a full, messy church is better than a clean, empty one. Amen? All right. Okay, so the second animal that we're getting compared to today is sheep. Now, while oxen are big and strong, sheep are strong in a different way. We'll talk about that. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Speaking of being alone, let me ask you, what benefit is it to the devil if you are alone? What does he gain if you remove yourself from fellowship and decide to take the journey of faith all by yourself? There's two points I want to make out of this scripture. The first one is that Peter compares the hunting style of the devil to that of a lion. I'm just curious, has anyone seen one of those shows on Animal Planet where lions are hunting something? Yeah, unfortunately, right? It's not the most fun watch, but you can't look away sometimes, right? The point is, they are lazy hunters, right? They prowl around looking for the young, the weak, the old, the hurt. They don't attack the herd. They look for those separated off from the group. Lions want easy targets, and Peter is right to compare the devil to the hunting style of a lion. Jesus refers to us as sheep several times, and here Peter is referring to Satan as a prowling lion. I don't think that's a coincidence. Now, we've given several examples of strength this morning. Did anybody have sheep on their short list of that? No, right? I mean, you did? Luetta had as a strong animal? All right. Okay. I was going to say, you don't think sheep when you think strength, right? Think a lot of other things before sheep. It's way down the list. However, sheep do have a source of strength. It's the flock, right? And that's exactly where we need to be. If the devil's prowling like a lion, then the herd is a form, or the flock is a form of strength for us to take advantage of. Now, the second point has to do with Peter's word choice here in verse 8. He says, specifically, he says, someone, right? Your enemy, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. Notice he doesn't say the devil prowls around looking for the church or a small group or a handful of Jesus followers to devour. The devil, like the lion, is looking for an easy target. An easy target is someone who is alone. See, he knows that someone who is in the rhythm of gathering is being encouraged and strengthened by other believers. That person's a much more difficult prey than someone walking through life, through faith, all by themselves. So whether you are one of the strongest animals, like an ox, or whether you're one of the weakest, like a sheep, there is strength in numbers. It's the same for us. Whether you're in one of the highest points or the lowest points of your life, whether you're super rich or dirt poor, whether you're an employee or an employer, no matter how resourced you are, there's still strength in numbers. Think of it this way. You wouldn't intentionally put yourself in a dangerous situation alone. And you don't need to travel through the valley of the shadow of death all by yourself either. The devil is prowling like a lion, and we need the flock for strength. So, are you sick of being compared to animals yet? If so, you're in luck. The next verse we're going to look at is about the strength of the rope. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says this, "Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken." There are so many of these someones, like we read about, these individuals out there that can be overpowered. Two can work together, and three are not easily overcome. Let's play out this rope metaphor here for just a minute. Let's say you'd been waiting and saving up for this vacation. And a big part of this trip is that you were going to rappel down the side of a mountain. You spent the day climbing up the mountain. And the moment comes that you've been looking forward to all day. It's time to rappel down the face of the mountain. You get your harness on and your helmet and your gloves on. And you attach your carabiner to your harness. And your guide asks if you're ready. You start to feel that adrenaline flow. He finds a big, heavy, solid rock to anchor to. And then out of his bag, he grabs this little spool of thread. And he starts to attach one end to the anchor, and he ties the other end to your carabiner. What would your next move be? Mine would be walking right back down that mountain, right? There is no way I would trust a single thread to hold me going down a mountain. If I'm going to rappel down a mountain face, I want a rope that is brand new, it has thousands of strands, and it's rated to hold at least 1,000 pounds, maybe a compact car. I'm not taking any chances on that. I'm assuming that's not just me, right? This is a no-brainer. Okay, good. Sometimes, though, when it comes to our relationship with God or with others or even with decisions to be made around temptation, we'll put our souls in this kind of danger without even thinking about it. Just because we can't see the devil prowling doesn't mean that we should leave the herd. Remember, you watched the Animal Planet show. You know how it ends. The gazelle couldn't see the lion either before it was too late. We wouldn't put our life in this sort of danger willingly, so we have to stop putting our souls at risk. And so far, we've seen three different examples in Scripture that show us a great way to help strengthen our souls and keep them out of danger. And it's to continue to gather with the body of believers. Jesus never encouraged us to do anything alone. And in fact, the smallest groups he ever sent anyone out was in pairs. Jesus sent the disciples out in pairs to share the good news of the kingdom, but never alone. Think about God looking in the garden at Adam and realizing that it was not good for him to be alone. Think about the plurality of leadership modeled by the early church, this extensive list that we see of people working together for the sake of the gospel in Romans 16. There are almost endless examples to choose from, but the point is the same in each. Together, we see a greater harvest. Together, we're better protected. And together, we are so much stronger. So in closing, I want to share a few verses with you that I skipped over earlier. Verses that lead into that last passage we looked at. This is Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10. Listen to this. "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up." Being a part of a body of believers is so important. investing your time and energy into other people's lives in the church is a must. I know that there are people here today who have been down before. Maybe you've had a string of bad events, or maybe you've lost a job, or you've had difficulty paying bills. Maybe you've lost a loved one recently. Maybe you're the one who's sick and hurting. Maybe you're just tired and you're weary, and maybe you need a little help getting back on your feet. Part of strength and being strong is knowing when it's time to lean on others. So how can we help each other today? How can we lift each other up? Whether it's a team of oxen or a flock of sheep or a braided rope or even a bundle of sticks, God uses us as humans, messy, not perfect, severely flawed, broken humans, to build his church. I think he does that because we have to do it together. There's always more strength to be found together. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, thank you for the church. Thank you for your plan to advance your kingdom. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your mission. And God, thank you for that plan involving community. We are so badly isolated in our world today. And we can find example after example in your word that just leads us where we don't want to go. God, help us this week to find strength in gathering. As our small groups meet tonight and this week and next week, God, help us to be sharpened and to be strengthened by others. Help us to really dive in and put an importance on meeting and gathering and fellowship and being spurred on. God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for using us in spite of our messiness and our brokenness and our flaws. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who transforms us into your likeness. God, we just want to be a strong people because of you, because of gathering in your name. We just ask these things in the name of Jesus this morning. Amen. Worship team's going to sing a song. Our altars here are always open. If you felt God speaking to you this morning and you want to respond, it's a great place to do that. Would you stand with us this morning and just worship and use this time to reflect?